season like no other. Falkirk have went through the whole league campaign and not lost once. Unbelievable, phenomenal, incredible, invincible.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall.
Into the box, it's Adams. And McKeever scores. Agyeman lets it run, might have a chance of a shot. It's Agyeman. Oh, what a goal from Alfredo Agyeman.
Still alive, Dylan T tries to bend one.
And it's a wonderful goal. Orfield. Oh, he's back. The king is back. Scott Orfield. And it's Falkirk return.
5 more minutes was all we needed, and even then I would have been on the weighing train. But alas, it wasn't to be, as Falkirk went down to Livingston on Tuesday night. Was it the team? Was it the tactics? Or was it just Livingston being Livingston? We'll dive into that in just a bit. Hello, welcome to Falkirk Daft. I'm your host, John McInally. And I don't have the Ginger God of Pod, as you may have noticed if you're watching this visual treat. I've got a better visual treat for you this week. He is known as Charlie from Still Game. He's lefty David Beckham. We think he's the biggest celebrity that supports Falkirk. It's Mr. Grant Thompson, everyone.
How are you doing, folks? How are you doing? And thank you very much for having me.
Oh, thanks for jumping in. It was the last minute. Get well soon, Ross. He's had a wee bit of a migraine, so he can't make the show today. But it's a pleasure to have you on, Grant.
Well, I've actually messaged him asking if he wants me to pop down and rub some Vicks in his chest, but he's not replied yet, so...
I'm sure he'll take you up on the offer. If you don't know who Grant is our quizmaster at Falkirk Daft. And as I say, he's on Still Game, if you go to it's a Hogmanay episode where they get stuck in the lift, Grant's the guy that's getting the sweeties from Isa. So there you
go. A long, long time ago, blinking, you miss me.
I know. You, DJ Rankin, and Ian Armitage from Young Sheldon, and potentially the Witch from Supernatural. Yeah. That's the top five or top four celebrity Falkirk supporters that we have. We'll need to grow that list. We need to dig about. You're working celebrity circles, Grant. Have you heard of any other Falkirk fans, or are we just going to have to start adopting them?
Oh, I don't know. Do you know the guy? I was at school with a guy called Stuart Cassells. He was he kind of founded the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Ah,
he's from Falkirk. I don't know if he's a Falkirk fan, but you could maybe claim him as well.
Let's claim him. Absolutely, it's Stuart from the Red Hot Chili Peppers as well. We'll have him as well. We're coming off the back. Obviously, we've had a weekend free. It's just, what do you do when the football's not on? I've found myself in just this rut. I have to hold my hands up. I watched the Dunfermline Air game yesterday, and what a laugh that was.
that is the saving grace of not being a game this weekend. I've thoroughly enjoyed watching Bolton at East End Park. That was good.
It was delicious. Obviously, you know, it's been what a week for Dunfermline. Obviously, Neil Lennon coming in, and then the £12.5 million Victor Wanyama, who I am going to nickname Victor Wanyama because it looks like he's towing a van when he's got on that pitch yesterday.
Yeah. When's he last played a game?
About 6 months ago, and you could absolutely tell what a sending off that was. Beautiful. Not exactly Scott Arfield-esque debut, was it?
No, not at all. Not at all. You can't beat that, though. You'll never beat that.
No, you'll never beat that. But let's hope that Dunfermline can do us a favour this midweek against Livingston. So I was kind of hoping that maybe they'll get a wee bit of confidence, but maybe Len will just go through them now and they'll be up for it against Livy. I've just sat and watched the Trust Trophy final where Livy absolutely dispatched to Queen's Park. It was a bit like watching your wife having sex with another man, however, you know, watching two other teams in the stadium while you're sitting watching the telly. I didn't like that.
But Queen's Park are such a poor, poor team, so I'm kind of thinking, hopefully Livy's maybe run their legs off a little bit today and they'll be a bit knackered for when they hit them.
Exactly, and then they'll go out, celebrate the trophy today, a few beers, knacking them out. I was hoping for some injuries to become key players. That didn't really happen, unfortunately. But I'm sure Dunfermline will have the bit between their teeth come midweek against Leven. Hopefully they can do us a favour. It's the only time I'll be asking for a Dunfermline win, that's for sure. I missed the Levy game actually on Tuesday there. So Grant, I'm glad you've come on. You can fill us in as we get into it. We're guest pundit Pete a bit later on. I was at a band called Public Service Broadcasting on Tuesday night, Grant.
What sort of music is that? I've never heard of them.
Probably the wankiest way to put it is they just finished an album, which was a album dedicated to the last flight of Amelia Earhart, who died trying to cross the world in 1937 in a plane. So
that sounds really cheery. Yeah,
So they basically they do concept albums around historical moments, and they basically use samples of newsreels and interviews and stuff and put that over the music. It's very, very good, but the most beard strokery gig you've ever been to. I'm like, I'm very beardless at the moment, so I just had to grab my friend's beard and stroke that.
You actually managed to get someone to go with you to see that?
Yeah, he was the very popular Grant off, you know, they were playing the Usher Hall. Anyway, so I was sitting there, public service broadcasting, going, right, come on, boys. I was halfway through, so I was like, 5 more minutes, and then it just flashed up. As soon as I saw Andrew Shinney coming off the bench, I had really bad feeling about it. He actually scored coming off the bench again for Livy today. But then you just saw that going, like, ah. Oh. Because we just needed that point. And if we got that point, I think it's done. But with 8 points, potentially, well, if Livy take it back to 5 on Tuesday, that starts getting squeaky bum times again, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, of course, we'll get into it as the show progresses, but it was one of these games, John, where my heart was saying, we're going to do this. But my head was saying, this is going to be another bloody Livy game, isn't it? And it was another bloody Livy game.
It was, and we'll get into it in a bit with Pete, as I said. A couple of bits and bobs. Heritage Night happened on Friday at the Brockville Bar. Did you went at that, Grant, were you?
I wasn't, but Stevie Jackson has been trying to sell it to me, so I might make it along to the next one.
Yeah, I think Alan was hosting this one. Apparently, on all accounts, good night, good chat. Mark Stewart, Liam Craig, and Darren Barr were doing their bit, so definitely names we need to get on at Falkirk Daft as well. But no, good. Obviously, money goes to the club as well, so that was really, really good news. Keep your eyes out for the next one. I'm sure it'll be great. We had our Falkirk Women's Day last Sunday at the stadium. It was brilliant. Really, really enjoyed it. It was great to, you know, we talked about it in last week's podcast, but no, it was just it was great to have everyone that's turned up for it. Thank you so much. And yeah, unfortunately the girls got beat, and unfortunately got beat again today by top of the table East Fife. So yeah, they're still in the top six, though, which is great.
Yeah.
So chance of, you know, pushing on, maybe making the playoffs, which would be great to see.
Fingers crossed.
Absolutely. But there's been a bit of fiasco this week. Because the game is getting played at the stadium today between Livingston and Queen's Park, the community pitches weren't... you couldn't play on them, right? So Falkirk women were struggling to find a pitch right up all this week, so it's just a bit of a fiasco. It's a bit of a joke. I mean, I don't know if it's the club or the foundation are to blame for that, but I've got to feel sorry for the women who are, you know, are peddling about trying to find a pitch. Otherwise, they were going to throw away the 3 points. Luckily, they were able to get Stirling and play in a neutral venue in the end. Otherwise, they would have to give them East Fife the 3 points.
No, that's not good. Not good at all, but I'm glad they got somewhere. I was actually in Shira this afternoon for afternoon tea with my mother.
Check you.
And
it's Mother's Day, right enough. So yeah. Well done. You're a good boy, son. You're a good boy.
Well, all the Queen's Park team must have been staying in Shira last night, because I seen them all piling out and heading onto the bus. So I was saying, please. I really wanted them to do it, but it wasn't
to
be.
I know. Well, like I say, we want to dent Livy's confidence as much as possible, but yeah. It's still in our own hands. We've got to keep reminding ourselves of that.
That's it.
We, at the last Falkirk Daft Live, we raised money for Andy's Man's Club, and we raised over £2,000. However, there's been a slight change of where that money's going, and we appreciate everyone that did it. We wanted to give it to, obviously, a men's mental health charity. But we got in touch with Andy's Man's Club. They couldn't guarantee that the money we raised would stay in the local area, because we wanted to give it to Hall Glen and the Stennis Muir branches of Andy's Man's Club. But they couldn't guarantee that, and they weren't willing to offer us the chance to go and donate to those individual branches. So what we did is we found an amazing, amazing charity called Scott Martin Foundation that someone put us onto. Now, Scott was a young lad who was actually played for Falkirk and played for many teams and then went on to have a, you know, a pretty good boxing career. So we got in touch with the guys over there and we thought, he's a local lad, you know, he's lost his life in tragic circumstances to mental health. And we donated the money to that. So I hope yous are all happy with that. If not, write a complaint to us at falkirk@falkirkdaft.co.uk. But yeah, basically it's Scott Martin Foundation. It's supporting youths through mental health, working alongside other local mental health organisations and local sporting associations to offer care, support and focus. So we thought that's a good place for the money to go.
Oh, definitely.
A nice local charity supporting men's mental health. So thank you everyone that contributed to the auction at the last Falkirk Daft Live. We'll be having another one on the 2nd of May ahead of the game against Hamilton. But yeah, thanks very much to the Scott Martin Foundation and thanks to you guys for putting your hands in the air and bidding for some brilliant items at Falkirk Daft Live. So that's where your money's going. Hope you're all happy with that. If not, it's Rossi's fault. Another thing we've got to talk about, Grant, and I was speaking today, last week we wanted to find out the identity of the ball boy who played a blinder against Airdrie and the fact that he bossed the Airdrie player on the rules. Did you see this?
I didn't see it because, unfortunately, last weekend I was down in Newcastle with my wife, so I couldn't make the game, but I've heard all about it.
Yeah. So, and we've got to be a big Scotty Arfield salute to the one and only, we found out his name, Zach Love. Now, Zach, hey. I've found out, we did a bit of Taggart-style investigating into Zach Love's identity. We found out it was Zach. Now, Zach is the son of Chris Love. Chris Love, a lot of people know of Thespian Larbert, have Love's the shop on King Street, on the main street there. So Chris's son. So I was chatting to Chris in the shop today. I was getting my rolls as per. And I was just like, what a legend. What an absolute legend. So well done, Zach Love. Do you know what? We're going to put Zach as a Falkirk Daft rated honorary member. I think he deserves it. So we'll put Zach Love on the Falkirk Daft rated board and he's an honorary member joining the rest of the team on that.
Well done, Zach. Keep up the good work.
Absolutely. Bossing it. Before we get to Birthday Corner, last week, and there was a bit of controversy about this, and I don't know why, putting brown sauce on top of pie and beans. Now, Grant, you weighed in this debate as well. What did you make of this?
What do you mean you don't know why, John? I was so disappointed in you. You can't put brown sauce on beans. Would you put brown sauce in a curry?
No.
Why not?
Because brown sauce is spicy, got that spiciness about it. So you mix up. So you're thinking double sauce, aren't you? This is your whole argument is double saucing, right? But here's my right. Okay, then I'll throw this back at you. On a hot dog, you have mustard. What else did you have on a hot dog? Tomato sauce, don't you?
Well, I don't put mustard on a hot dog. That's just mine. Mustard's
horrible. Well, I know, but a lot of people do mustard and tomato sauce. But listen, try it. Have you tried it?
No. Do you know why I've not tried it? Because my father, he puts brown sauce in his beans, and I've just been disgusted with this since I was a child because you can actually smell it. I can smell it just now. It's disgusting, the fusion.
Right, the fusion of that. Anyway, we put a poll out saying, do you put your brown sauce on top of pie and beans? Hell no, won it, though, 58.7%. But thank you for everyone that backed me on 35.3%. The other 6% says, depends on the bean juice. So if there's a lot of bean juice, you don't go for a brown sauce. So, yes, there we go. So hell no to brown sauce and pie and beans. I'm telling you, try it. It'll be a taste sensation in your mouth. Right, let's get it.
I've heard that before, John, and it never is.
Birthday Corner, it's time for that now. Let's hit the song. There it is. And happy birthday to Marshall Patterson, and that's from Blair. Now, Marshall sits a couple of seats in front of me at the Falkirk Stadium. You will hear Marshall before you see him. Let's just put it that way. John McGuinn must, because we're right behind the dugouts,
John McGlynn must be sick of hearing Marshall with his tactical nous. But he's a top lad, and we say happy birthday to Marshall, and that's from Blair. Happy birthday, mate. Also happy birthday to Mrs. Campbell, Ross's favourite maths teacher, has obviously been on this podcast before. Irene, we won't reveal your age, but thank you so much for coming on the podcast and coming to Falkirk Daft Live, and happy birthday to you as well. And do you know what? I'm going to be quite self-indulgent here, Grant, because my brother's birthday is tomorrow as well, so this saves me sending a card. So happy birthday, David. Now, David, if you don't know David McAnally, he was probably he's the founder of the Crunchy Initiative and was absolutely intrinsic in getting the Ken McAllister stand named and get all that display and put so much work into it, selling T-shirts, raising money, doing nights during COVID, all those COVID times. And then we've got that amazing looking stand now, and David put a lot of work into that. So happy birthday, David. There you go. I've said nice things about him now.
Happy birthday, mate.
There you go. Do you know, we've started doing this as well. Players' birthdays as well, Grant. Okay, so today is the 30th of March, and we are going to say happy birthday to Miles Hogarth and the one and the only Akil Francis.
How do you research this stuff? How do you...
I have to say, I've got to put a big shout in to the guys who do the Better Medal website. It's unbelievable. If you're looking for any Falkirk facts, that's where to go.
Right.
Better Medal website, and it gives you all the birthdays. So Akil Francis, do you remember Akil Francis?
Name rings a bell, but I've not got many memories of him.
He was I think he was brother of like Andre Wisdom or something that put us. But he played for us. I'm just checking his Transfermarkt thing. He played for us. Where's his appearance? I can't even find his appearance. He's currently playing with Brighouse Town. There you go. Never even heard of them. But he came from Grantham to Falkirk. 2020 season 2020,
right? Okay,
so there you go. Akil Francis is celebrating his birthday today, along with the one and only Miles Hogarth. And what age do you think Miles Hogarth is, Grant?
Oh, Miles Hogarth has got to be, I'll say 52.
Bang on 50. It was his 50th birthday the other week. Doing behind the wall. We were part of a surprise, like saying it was a Falkirk Daft thing, and they got Miles up for a big surprise. We were all part of a conspiracy there.
Oh, so good stuff.
Miles, the dad of Nicky, of course. 50, happy birthday to you, Miles. 31st tomorrow, two Falkirk Bairns themselves, Tam Scobie and Gregor Buchanan.
Oh, good stuff. Good stuff. Happy birthday, guys.
Tam obviously now just been appointed the manager of Camelon Juniors as well. So Tam is, what hazard a guess at Tam?
I will say Tam is 42.
He's 37. Could still be kicking.
37?
Could be still kicking.
Oh, wow.
And Gregor Buchanan, obviously still West Ends Muirs captain as well. He is 35. There you go. On April, the first couple of April Fools here, Tommy McQueen, Andy Thompson, Kevin Christie, and current backup goalkeeper Ross Munro. There you go. So Tommy, right, go Tommy McQueen. What do you think Tommy's now? One of the finest left backs to ever play for Falkirk.
I'll say 55.
63. Really?
Aye.
Andy Thompson.
Makes me feel so old.
Andy Thompson obviously scored. Andy Thompson was a good goal scorer under Yogi as well. Remember him playing front? Scored the only one I always remember Andy Thompson is when he scored in that 8-1 game against Celtic at Celtic Park. And he celebrated, right? We all celebrated like we just won the cup. It was very funny. And 3rd of April, no birthdays in the second, but 3rd of April, Tim Krul obviously came on loan to us and went on to become a Dutch international and played with Newcastle. So he is going to be 37 himself. I don't know if Tim's still playing, actually. I think he maybe is back in Holland now. And our goalkeeper on the 4th is David Mitchell and Jay Fulton as well. Like, Jay's had an amazing career since he left us, and, you know, with Swansea. And I mean, it's a shame he's really... came out about where he should have. I don't think he's had a Scotland cap, Jay Fulton, and he probably should have, Grant.
Yeah, no, definitely. Is he still playing, Jay?
Aye, I think he's still at Swansea, you know.
Yeah, I've just double-checked on Wikipedia there. Yeah, he's still kicking a ball at Swansea. 250-odd appearances for Swansea he's had now. Unbelievable. Great career he's had down there since. Yeah. I mean, leaving us in 2014 then going down there, and he's just been there ever since.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There you go. There you go. Right, okay, that is Birdie Corner. But before we go on with the episode, we've got to say thank you very much to our episode sponsor, and that is Rumour Architecture. They sponsor Falkirk Daft Live, and we'll be doing the exact same this time round as well. They've been on the go for 5 years and run by the one and only Ryan Marshall, my friend and fantastic architect. They're only fully chartered and accredited architects in town. So if you've got, like, you're looking for an extension, you're looking for stuff done, they've got a wealth of experience there. They did Country Carrots offices at the old Leckie shop. Those amazing, where the old Polish club used to be. I always admire those houses, but that was Ryan's work. So get involved, get in touch with Ryan. They do all sorts of projects, from bespoke and temporary extensions, housing developments, commercial properties, hotels, and they work with industrial clients as well. So if you're needing an architect, right, keep it in the Falkirk family, I always say that, and you want to get in touch with Ryan, rmar.co.uk, that's rmar.co.uk, and get in touch with Ryan, he will sort you out. Tell him Falkirk Daft sent him your way, and all will be sorted. So there you go, that's this week's...
I've actually got a relative that's in one of the houses at the old Polish club.
There you go.
And I can vouch that they are stunning, stunning houses. So there you go. There's a wee unexpected plug for...
There you go.
For Ryan there.
That was all Ryan's work. So yeah, get in touch with Ryan. Let's get into some club news. There's not much to really talk about. The annual recognition awards night. It's happening on Tuesday, 15th of April at the Enshira. I think invites have went out now. And they're looking for some awards. We're inviting nominations for some of our awards, and I don't know what those awards are. I think Ross did suggest on my behalf a Tom Lang Helper Award. I'm up for that. I would also suggest maybe, you know, the Best Falkirk Podcast Award. That might be good.
I think you guys must be up for some sort of award. You have done a good service to the club, surely.
Some sort
surely.
Of award. Idiot Award. The daftest Falkirk fan award. Yeah, we'll pick up a few of them. But yeah, that's happening the 15th of April. I remember, like, there was times, like, during those 5 years in League One, you couldn't give tickets away for that. I remember everyone just going, do you want a ticket? I can't be bored going, because it was a Tuesday night. But people will be clambering for tickets this time. So it'll be a good night then, Shira.
Yeah, no, definitely. Can you imagine how many people's going to bring merch along for Scott Arfield to sign?
Of course. That will absolutely 100% happen. We will be talking about Play of the Year and stuff. I think we've got a wee while to go before we start talking about that. But yeah, we'll be doing that at Falkirk Daft Live, looking for a Falkirk Daft Player of the Year. Right, let's get into it then, shall we? Because there's not much other club news, unless anyone else could tell me otherwise. I don't think there is. But we are going to speak to our guest pundit this week and look back at a trip to Almond Vale with the one and only Pete Moody.
Hi there, how are you?
Hiya, Pete. The last time we spoke to you and we were just talking was we did the season roundup at the end of McGlynn's first season, and we were all sort of sitting in the podcast going, should he stay or should he go? And this was quite fresh after the Airdrie playoff game. Now, I do believe, though, Pete, you did say he should definitely stay.
I did indeed, John, yes. I think you could see, like, the foundations that he put in place in the side during the course of that season. It was just unfortunate that he still had a lot of dross carried over player-wise from the season before that he couldn't clear out, and we had a total tail-off in that kind of last quarter. But yeah, 100%, he was the right man for the job, and I think it's been proven that he is.
I know, I'm glad he did, because you can see, actually, it's a year to the day that we had those scenes up at Montrose. If you're watching YouTube version, it's a year to the day since that 7-1. What a day that was in Montrose. Were you both there?
Oh, yes.
I was there.
Yeah, I was just, I did say to my wife, I was like, there's a couple of days in my life that will stand out. This is, the Montrose day was definitely a top 10. Like, there's a couple, because she's like, it's a day, I wasn't even there. I was like, right, okay, well, you were there for the wedding, right? You were there for the birth of the children, okay? But listen, you're canny. If you wanted to come to Montrose, you were more than welcome to come. But, you know, she gets all upset because it's one of my favourite days in my lifetime, and she wasn't there. But
Yeah, it was superb. I had my three boys at the game and they all went in different. So my oldest one got the train up and I met him before the game. He was completely hammered. And then the middle one, who at that point I think was only 15, I dropped him off in like the town centre so he could meet his pals. I had my youngest one who was probably 14 at that point, and I remember going up into the Montrose High Street. Montrose is a fantastic away day.
It's a great away day.
Bus. Oh, it's one of the best actually. Cause it's like, it's not like too long on the bus. You know, it's only like about an hour and a half on the bus. You get a good drink on the bus, and then there's some nice wee pubs in Montrose. But yeah, just having that experience with the kids and then meeting them all on the pitch and all that. Yeah, it was absolutely superb. Loved it. Yeah. The kids loved it as well. It's memories, you know, it's memories that will stay with them for the rest of the life.
You were in the queue going into the stadium at the time when the Hamilton result came through, and oh my word, just that atmosphere was unbelievable.
Yeah. I think everyone was steaming. That's why I remember myself and Ross got the train up, obviously, to Montrose, and then went to the picture house there. And then it was that double whammy of, like, you know, Hamilton dropping points and us winning the league in the pub. And I thought it'd be rubbish, like, you don't want to win a league that way, but it was just brilliant.
Yeah.
And then that, like you say, Pete, those scenes on the Montrose High Street were amazing. Walking down the ground in a big parade, getting into the ground, and, you know, then going and pumping Montrose, one of our big bogey teams, 7-1, and then on the pitch, like, incredible, incredible. My biggest regret, and one of my biggest life regrets today, is my brother gave me a lift down back around. I met my brother on the pitch, which was a brilliant moment as well. Like you're saying, meeting your family, meeting your friends, loads of hugging, and just like, it was just such a relief. And then I met Brian on the pitch and he said, do you want a lift back? Because he had been filming a game. And I went, aye, on you go. So I didn't go get the train back down to behind the wall. And it's still to this day one of my biggest regrets that I wasn't in that pub that night. It was just because the scenes there were amazing. Did any of you make it to behind the wall?
No, I didn't, unfortunately.
No, I didn't. I just went home and got I got a takeaway, actually. I got like a doner kebab or something with the kids. And then just took it easy because I was driving and stuff. And
yeah.
You know, you kind of get out of the habit of drinking, going to the football now. So, yeah, never went out.
What a day, what a day. Anyway, we're not here to talk about Montrose. We're here to talk about a much darker day, and that was the loss against Livingston. Before I get into it, though, Pete, we've been asking the all season, and I've not had a chance to ask you, who's the most disappointing person that you've seen put on the navy blue?
Yeah, indeed. It's a great question, John. So, yeah, I did have a good think about it during the week. And so the person I went for is not someone who was, like, really shit or anything like that. It was someone that wasn't given a chance, and they came with quite a decent pedigree. And if you look at their stats before they joined us and after they left us, they're actually really, really good. So I went for Roman Wallner, the Austrian striker, who Hughes signed, and for whatever reason just never played him. I think he got maybe like three or four games, maybe, if that.
It was a strange one. It was a strange, strange one, Roman Wallner, because, like, you see, I think he's now a coach at one of the Austrian teams and stuff like that. But you see his pedigree and what he did before and after us, and it was just like one of these ones that Yogi didn't like him. Remember, Denzel, my favourite Falkirk fact ever is the fact that we had a player who played three games at the World Cup and didn't kick a ball for us. It was for Trinidad and Tobago, Denzel Theobald, three games at the World Cup, but yet wasn't allowed to play, didn't get a game for Falkirk. Unbelievable. Unbelievable, but when Yogi had that in him, didn't he? He's like, he was just like players he didn't like, and just wouldn't
get so frustrating. Like, he would fall out with so many players and then just wouldn't play them for whatever bizarre reason. He was so stubborn. Like, I loved Hughes as a player and a manager, but that was one of his major downfalls. He would just constantly fall out with guys and not give them a chance to play.
True. No faults with Mr. McGonhower. We've not heard of any disharmony really from all the players. You've never heard any of that. That's one of the one things. I think there was murmurings about Romain Borel, but he was quickly shifted out, and he's actually doing really well down at Burton. Obviously did well at Cove as well. A player I would like to have kept on, but you know, I guess if Mr. McGonhower sees he's not doing the job or doing what he should do, you're out the door. So.
I think it takes like a lot of time to kind of like get to know the players out with football, like all their personal details, and really kind of puts a lot of focus on that. Not just he's not doing it for the sake of doing it. I think he's doing it just because he's generally just quite a decent person, and that I think helps create that kind of team harmony. And if nobody, if somebody's not like contributing towards that, i.e. maybe Callum Morrison, then well, you're gone.
Yep. Well, absolutely. Absolutely.
But I think you hear that back from the players as well, though, because I think the players are fairly vocal in how good John is with them. Even players that have been with us and then left the club, when you refer to John, they always refer with fondness of him.
Yeah, yep. It's true. It's true. You hear Steve McGlynn. We'll hear from Steve McGlynn when we get him up at, behind the wall. We'll get all the stories in, so looking forward to that. Let's get into the Livingston game then. Like I said, I didn't make it. Pete, were you there as well?
Yeah, I was there. So, yeah, thanks for giving me this opportunity to open an old wound.
Excellent. Excellent. I'll be leaning into you guys and all in this game. I've only seen the highlights from it, and I only actually had to watch them back once because I thought I can't handle that more than once. I meant to do it before coming on the podcast today, but I'll go on your guys' knowledge of the game. Immediately, I was at the gig, as I was saying to Grant. I looked at that team. McKeever, Arfield, Graham and Agyeman came in for Oliver, Nesbitt, Mackie and Ethan Ross, and immediately I was sent in fear by that team. What did you make of the team lineouts when you saw it? For me, I thought there would be two changes, and that'd be Arfield and perhaps Barney Stewart coming back in to start in 11, but it was obviously a 3-5-2, Pete.
Yes, so yeah, as soon as you saw the lineups, you thought, right, 3-5-2, and yeah, I could kind of like see what he was trying to do, because when you saw the lineup, it kind of mirrored that to what played away to Raith Rovers. It was in the game when we just lost, it was a game after we just lost to them in the Scottish Cup, and he mixed it up and he went long ball with Keever and Agyeman up front, and it kind of worked to a certain extent. And I thought, right, when I saw it, I thought that's what he was going to do. It's not how I would have done it, to be honest. I'm not a coach, mind you, but I would have thought you would have had, like Airdrie scored 3 goals against them, was it the week before or 2 weeks before then? And I imagine how Airdrie played would have been trying to go through them. And I thought maybe we should have went with that, with Miller on the left, Ross on the right, and I would have possibly gone with Brophy up front and given him a shot. But yeah, I thought I could see what he was trying to do, but yeah, I was a little bit wary of it. But then I probably had more of an issue with how things kind of panned out with the formation and the lineup throughout the game.
What do you think, Grant?
So John's went out and put all the big boys out in the field, and rather than working from the back, Nicky was constantly just booting the ball at the park, and that doesn't work against Livy because they're all giants. And we really, really struggled. I think leaving Mackie out was a big error, because Mackie, yeah, he's not the tallest of guys, but he can still fight there in that battle, and he can use his strength. I think that's maybe what we missed. I think we also should have perhaps looked at Gary Oliver, because I don't think McKeever's fit yet. I think he's still coming back. He's not fit enough. So I think maybe that sort of game was crying out for someone like Gary Oliver coming. You say, Pete, you said Brophy. But yes, someone different. But McKeever's certainly not fit yet by the looks of it.
Yeah, I saw a few people sort of saying McKeever just didn't look fit at all in the game. Luke Graham at left back. Pete, where do you sit on this? Me and Ross have had constant debates about this. Where do you sit on it?
Yeah, so we started at the 3-5-2, so, and Graham was like on the left side of the three, and you had Calvin Miller as a left wing back. And I actually thought in the kind of early portion of the game, Miller looked a wee bit dangerous going up the left on his natural side. But then it was just when Livingston started getting a little bit more of a foothold into the game, and they started creating a couple of chances, albeit from decent crosses into the box. So this was one of the issues I had, where we kind of bizarrely went to the kind of four at the back, having started with the three, and then that resulted in Luke Graham going at left back, and he's not a left back in the slightest. So I found that kind of a little bit strange doing that. It did, in fairness, so it kind of like maybe nullified Livingston a little bit, but then I thought we were maybe less dangerous after going to that formation. But no, because there was one instant, and I think Graham had a chance to get to the byline. I think it might have been from a corner that kind of came back out. Graham had the chance to kind of run to the byline, and he doesn't naturally do it, and I think he ended up losing the ball, and they actually maybe created a chance from it. I can't quite remember, because I've not actually watched the highlights back, kind of burying my head in the sand after these type of games. But I'd have Mackie at left back all day long. So yeah, it was just kind of odd having the three, starting with the three and then going to the four and putting Graham at left back. I don't think it works.
We talked about Miller, you know, playing that wing back role as well, and for a guy that's played in that right hand side and the amount of assists, I think he's the top assists in the championship now, and the goals he's scored from that side, you just feel like, again, you're just mixing things up when you're moving some of the chess pieces around where they're not playing in the best position that they could be. Now, I've never been a massive advocate of Miller on the right hand side, but you're like, and my constant argument is look at those numbers and look at those goals and look at those assists. When I saw the timeline, I went, but I mean, we almost got there with it. We'll speak about that. But it was a very much typical Falkirk Livingston game from what I've seen this season. It was just two managers just going at it. I noticed that Davy Martindale refused to shake John McGlynn's hand. Did you see that?
Well, I didn't hear that, no.
Doesn't surprise me. He's a wee twat of a man. So surprise me.
I think I saw a picture that I'm putting things out there, but I think there'd been a comment about the hammer throwers. It all kicked off in the tunnel the last time, but I'm pretty sure I saw footage of Martindale not shaking McGlynn's hand because of that. But I mean, it just seems that we just can't. I mean, they've got the Indian signer over as Livingston, and John McGlynn, Grant, it's almost like he's a little spooked by Livingston, and he just doesn't know what to do. Should I go with the 4-3? Should I go with this? Should I change things up? And we've tried different approaches to it, Grant, but John McGlynn just can't seem to work it out.
So you see other teams like Airdrie taking or scoring a lot more goals against Livingston than we have, and I don't know, this probably sounds like a really childish thing to say, but I really do think Livy upped their game when they play us. And as you say, McGlynn's tried several different tactics against them, but if you've got a team that are up in their game against us, it's always going to be hard. And I think it was your podcast with you, and I think I heard Cole saying that it's difficult to get points at this end of the season, everyone is fighting for something, and I think, unfortunately, we were victims to that.
Yeah, I mean,
we need to fight more, though. We need to find an extra level to rise above that.
We didn't really create any chances in that game against Livingston. There was nothing there.
Yeah.
No, they had the better chances.
Yeah, they definitely did. I mean, the bit, and looking down that first half, I'm looking at the chances that we did have. It was all just the only chance that I really saw was someone when Arfield fed an argument down that right hand side, and he had the option to go across and try and find Miller, but he obviously had a shot and it wasn't far away. But that was probably about the best chance we had in that half. Is there anything else to write home about?
We had a couple of decent balls into the box, crosses over from our kind of right-hand side of the pitch, floated in, if I can remember correctly, where maybe Lang had a header or so, but no, I think Livingston had the best chance in the first half, where Hogarth made a fantastic save. It looked like a fantastic save anyway from where I was, but
I think it was
just a cross in, and it might actually have been from the break, I can't remember, but yeah, it worked out to be quite a good save, quite a good chance for them, a good save. Thankfully, but yeah, apart from that, there was nothing. It was a shit game.
It was a terrible game. Steve, let's talk about Stephen Kelly's challenge on Liam Henderson. Thoughts on that? There was a lot of people shouting for a red card on that. It was a terrible, terrible challenge.
No, I'd say so. Montano as well on
smashing on him Spencer. On the face. Yeah,
I think definite calls for red cards there.
Pete.
I've not seen them back. Did the guy that elbowed Lyon, did he get a yellow card for that?
I don't think he even got booked.
Jesus. Okay, fair enough. The one on Henderson was a nasty one. It seemed pretty aggressive, out of control. Yeah, it could have been a red card if my memory serves me correct, but yeah, unfortunately it wasn't.
Yeah, half time, second half, were a wee bit better, would you say?
No.
I'd say Livy came more into it. I think Livy came more into it in the second half.
Yeah.
I think we maybe picked them in the first half, but in the second half, I think they came more into it and we had very few chances again on goal.
I know. It's
yeah, I don't remember too many chances. There was one, I think Miller ran through from the right and he had a shot. He maybe could have passed it. And then there was maybe another kind of half chance from like a corner.
Was that Argument's kind of chance after Miller's chance, maybe?
Possibly. Yeah. Possibly, John. Yeah, I'm not sure. But I think around about 20 minutes to go, we made like, so this was another issue with like how the game panned out. We made four subs at once.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really odd because, you know, maybe you would do that if you're like maybe 4 or 5 nil up or you've got your 2-0 down, you're trying to chase a game, you want to change it. But at 0-0, finally poised, four subs seemed pretty random in my mind, to be honest. And then Barney Stewart coming on as one of them. Yeah, he just showed his inexperience, I think, at this level.
Yeah, I really, really like Barney. I think he's great, but he's still raw, and I think he needs to work on his power and his presence because he was kind of getting muscled off the ball quite a lot.
I guess when you're playing against Ryan McGowan and Danny Wilson, though, like two international centre halves, you know, you're really going to struggle. I mean, arguably, in fact, I don't think there's much of an argument against it. Probably the two best centre halves in the league. If you take Hendo out of the equation and say he's a midfielder. The big one I did say was on Hendo. A lot of people saying, why did he take off Henderson unless he was carrying a knock?
I think so, yeah. I think he was probably maybe still recovering from that challenge on him in the first half. That's the only reason why you would take him off, because of his height, and he's just, you know, he's been fantastic this year. You wouldn't have taken him off unless he was carrying some kind of knock of some sort. But yeah, the four subs didn't really make any impact whatsoever to the game, and maybe actually made us weaker, physically weaker. It certainly made us, because we created no chances, and I actually felt from that moment on, Livingston seemed to kind of get a little bit more aggressive. They seemed to be going for a bit more. They seemed to win every single 50-50, every header. That kind of 20 minutes, last 20 minutes, it certainly in my opinion, I thought we were a little bit weak and not up to it as much as we should have been. I could be wrong, like, unless you disagree, Trent.
No, I think that's a fair description of how it went. I think you're bang on with that, Pete.
Do you think the, like, Arfield's going off, had he ran his race, or was it just... Because obviously he's something that can offer a moment, you know?
Yeah, I think he was probably knackered at that point. He actually played quite well. He was one of the few players that tried to show a little bit of composure on the ball. Because, yeah, again, that last 20 minutes, it felt like we were just, like, lashing the ball away. Nobody was putting their foot on it when we needed to kind of calm the game down and either kill the game, either by wasting time or even just to kind of make a couple of passes. It felt like we didn't make any passes. It was all just kind of like lumping the ball forward, and yeah, it just wasn't good enough in my mind.
Did you have that feeling, Pete, that you just knew it was coming? It was coming.
It was something was coming. Yeah, that's as I'm alluding to. Kind of like it felt like Livy were winning every single header, even against their centre backs. They were winning every header, every flick on, and it just kind of felt that we were settling for the point, but trying to not really settling for it in the correct way, where we should still be like kind of trying to play further forward. We were kind of like happy just to kind of like sit back and defend and. It felt like it was coming.
What's your thoughts as to why Livy get away with the way they play against, well, certainly us anyway, the physicality and some of the challenges? Because any other matches, any other teams we play, they'd be getting thrown in the book. Have you got any thoughts as to why that was?
No idea. Nah. I think it's just inconsistencies from the ref, to be honest.
I mean, Nick Walsh, I think, is a ref that's used to VAR, And my own personal opinion is these referees are using VAR week in, week out, so they become reliant on it. Mm. But when they drop down the leagues and play our referee our matches, they've not got that safety cushion of VAR to tell them what's going on.
Yep. That's a really interesting point, Grant. Yeah, I hadn't even thought of that. That's like, because then you look at some of the incidents we talked about, the tackle by Stephen Kelly, you know, was it Tom getting smashed in the face from Montano? By the way, don't hit Tom's face. Whatever you're going to do, just don't hit Tom's face. But yeah, that's a really interesting point. I hadn't even thought about that. The goal came. You know, I was looking at my phone, as I said, and just like, come on, Falkirk, all we need to do, 5 more minutes, and then goal Livingston. I flashed up and I was like, oh, Jesus. It was avoidable. Tom Lang probably shouldn't have given away that free kick.
Was it a free kick? I've not seen it back.
I think it was.
Yeah,
I think it was.
I think it probably was, unfortunately. It was a smashing hit from Stephen Kelly. He thought, like, because Robbie Muirhead was off the park, you think, oh, well, at least he's not hitting the free kick because we saw what he did against Ayr. But it was Stephen Kelly, you know, and it's just unlucky. Comes back off the upright and there's, you know, the bounce did everyone, and then it was just Andrew Shinney. There was not much you could do. It was just really unlucky in terms of defence.
Could they have reacted better, the defence?
I just think it's the way it's bounced, but maybe I'm wrong, Grant. What do you think?
No, it's just luck. It's just complete. It's, you can only react to something that's coming in your direction. Unfortunately, the ball went in the direction of Shinney, so there's not much you could do about that.
I know, but it was just so frustrating, wasn't it? Because, like I say, it's just a point away, and you know, you take a point and it's done. It's absolutely unsurmountable if you take a point from Livingston. But now we go back to looking and shaking. And I mean, but let's face the facts. It's, you know, Livingston, I've had the Indian sign over it. But for the rest of the teams in the league, you know, we've had a pretty good record against them all. So it's just frustrating. And there was, it was just that Livingston Falkirk game, which we've seen all season, but I mean, I have to say it's very disappointing that we've only taken 1 point from a possible 12 from Livingston.
Yeah, only one goal as well against them. Yeah. That was a penalty.
Well, two goals if we're factoring out Aidan Nesbitt's one that was disallowed.
Yeah, true.
Do you know what made it worse as well? John, you were talking about young Zach the ball boy at the start of the podcast. Pete, I don't know if you noticed, but the Livy ball boy that was on our side kept on turning at the fans and smirking and laughing at us.
Oh, did he?
And I irrationally go, pissed off this
guy. How old is this wee lad?
I wouldn't mess with you. I'll be honest with you, Grant. I wouldn't mess with you. I wouldn't
mess
with you if this wee boy was having a go at you.
No, it was all the fans who was having a go at us. Everyone laughing at him. He must have been about 12 or 13. And I was like, fair play, if you're our ball boy, it'd be great, but you're not, so.
I know. Listen, let's hear what John McGlynn had to say after the match.
John, a difficult one to take tonight. How would you sum that up?
It's very difficult. Very, hard to take, yeah, because we've done so much, absolutely so much tonight. It wasn't a classic, absolutely nothing between the two teams. It looked like it was going to be a 0-0, which we'd accepted that, you know, come here, no damage done. But unfortunately, once again, the very, very fine margins in the game have gone Livingston's way. So in the dressing room, we're all bitterly disappointed. But we still know we're in a good position. We'll dust ourselves down now. We've got a bit of time before we go and play Morton a week on Saturday. So, we'll dust ourselves down. We'll take our medicine and be ready to go against Morton.
Like you said, in a really good place. I guess that is a big positive you can take, is that, you know, the boys are still 8 points clear.
Yeah, well, we're always going to be, aren't we? Regardless, we're always going to be in a good position. But we came here to strengthen our position, and unfortunately we've not managed to do it. And it's one of these ones, if you can't win the game, you don't lose it. Now we've found a way to blink and lose it, you know, which is not great. because I thought we had worked so hard, you know, we were really well organised. Did a couple of shots in the first half that Nicky dealt with fairly comfortably. No, nothing too outstanding. But, you know, I thought in the second half, you know, we created more in the second half, looked like more likely to score. No loads of chances kicking about either way. All the stats in the game are very, very even. Like every game we've played against Livingston, every game has been very, very even. Nothing in it. Well, they've found a way to win, and we're gutted about that. But, you know, as I say, we'll take our medicine and we'll be ready for Morton.
There you go then. If you can't win it, don't lose it. And he did say we found a way to blink and lose it. I think that might have been a bit more severe in the dressing room somehow.
Yeah, no, you can tell he's hurting.
Yeah, you can always tell John's pissed off by the length of the interview. So I just play one question's enough, but that was only about two minutes with two questions. So you can always tell how pissed off is John by the length. If he's short, he's raging. Absolutely raging. And you just tell he is. I mean, I think from a personal point of view, he'll be raging that, like you say, going back only 1 point out of a possible 12 against Livingston. But hey, it does, you know, usually in a circumstances like that, you won't go on to win the league. But you look at Celtic against Rangers again, it's a very similar position that Celtic can't seem to do it against Rangers. I mean, even though they've taken, I think they won the first Old Firm, but they've lost the last two and potentially might lose the next one as well. So, but they'll still go on to win the league. And you know what? I'm fine with that. If we go on and win the league, we're only taking a point off Livingston. The frustrating bit will be if you look back at the ifs, buts and maybes, and it's a big if, we don't go on to win the league. You'll look at these moments and you'll go, well, there was that last-minute goal against Dunfermline. There was that last-minute goal against Livingston. And you'll look at these moments, or the disallowed goal against Livingston at the stadium, or, and you'll look back and you'll go, But hopefully we're not doing that. I really hope we're not doing that.
Oh, I've been looking at my crystal ball going forward if we don't win the league,
I think every Falkirk supporter, I've got all Livingston's fixtures down. I think Ayr are done. I don't think Ayr can get back to it with that Livingston game in hand. You know, and let's remember, Livingston and Ayr still got to play each other as well. You know, we've got Morton, Hamilton, and Raith Rovers at home. Three home games, three winnable games. You win those three games, you've won the league. The Thistle away is giving me the stuff of nightmares. If we've not done it by Thistle away, that is giving me the thing of nightmares. And then you've got Hamilton at home, who, you know, might be done by that point. So, but that Thistle away fixture and the Ayr away fixture. Listen, you go down to Somerset and you get a point, great. Or, you know, you get a win down there, brilliant. But we need to beat Morton Saturday.
It's a must-win game this weekend. I think I would work on the assumption that Livingston are going to win every single game between now and the end of the season.
Yeah,
and so therefore we have to go out and do our business.
I don't think they will. I think their form's too stuttery. It has been all season. They went through. They've just drawn games when they should be winning games. You know, that's what Dave Martin did. Looking at Livingston's fixtures, they've got a Dunfermline game. Now you go at Dunfermline, it's Neil Lennon's first game in charge at East End. He'll be hurting after that on Saturday. So you think, well, it's a good laugh, isn't it? But he'll be looking to get a point off them, or at least 3 points at East End Park. Then Livingston, they've got Queen's Park at home. God, I watched that Trust Trophy final there. I don't think Queen's Park stand a walkover. Unless they've got a new manager bouncing, they've got a new manager in by that time, which... you might wait and see if, you know, Stuart Kettlewell or whoever goes in. You never know. Then they're Morton away. Now, Morton away is an interesting one because Morton, at that point, I'll be in that kind of no man's land.
I think they currently are just now, aren't they? They're about 7 points behind Partick Thistle, aren't they? And Partick beat them at the weekend. So the chances of them making fourth place is slim pickings.
Yeah, then the big one, Livingston Ayr in Livingston. Now, that's the interesting one. That's where, if Ayr, because if at that point, you know, is Ayr still trying to go for second? That's a massive game because how much of an advantage of his finishing second in this league, you know. So that's a huge game. Then they've got Hamilton away. You think that's, you know, and then they've got Thistle at home on the last game. Thistle, yeah. So I would say we've got the harder running, but all, you know, if they drop points against Dunfermline during the week, I'm a bit more optimistic, but we'll wait and see. Let's hear what you had to say about the Livingston game, though. David kicks us off by saying, trying to out-levy them was always a risk. We mostly defended well, but got hit with a sucker punch. Alfie and Calvin looked bright on the break, but we didn't do enough to threaten them. It won't matter if we can shake off the result and find a rhythm playing our usual game.
Random Falkirk fan said, I still believe that we will win the league no matter what happens between now and end of the season. One of the few positives from tonight was the Donner hoagie pie. It was absolutely delicious.
Grant Thompson, I don't want to, you know, stereotype and come looking at you. Did you sample the Donner hoagie pie?
Do you know what? We went to get one, but there wasn't any left, so
we ended up getting
a chicken curry pie, which was okay.
Pete says, playing a long ball game towards that back line made no sense to me, bypassing Spencer, Arfield and Miller. I understand why you'd want to look to join the defensive lineup against that lot, but it destabilises a relatively settled formation. Taking off Hendo for Nizzy is puzzling.
What Pete was that? It's not, certainly not me.
A different Pete is not you. I think if Hendo had a knock, that would answer questions. But if Hendo's been taken off and not had a knock, it's a strange one. A real strange one.
Yeah, Craig says, tactics wrong tonight, played for a draw. Lang didn't need to put his foot in the free kick at the end. Ref bottled it and was awful for most of the game. Still ahead in points and need to bounce back against Morton.
Absolutely. Wee Tam says, McGuinn shat the bed and made a few poor decisions. McGuinn shat the bed and made a few poor decisions. I don't know. I think this has been a autocorrect. Cover starting over Oliver. McKeever, I'm presuming that's meant to say, taking Hendo off and bringing on Barney. I don't know how cover comes from McKeever, not correct, right enough. Taking Hendo off and bringing on Barney. Never looked in any danger until Hendo went off, surely injured. Still 8 ahead and 5 to play. Ref was brutal and linesman was no more than a ball boy.
Yep. Scott says, I'm not that bored about last night. Scrappy game, which would have gone either way. However, What was that team selection? Ross McKeever hadn't had a good game since Celtic, and Graham is not a left back. Premiership striker on the bench, and no Gaz is baffling.
Going back to the Ross McKeever one, you would have started Brophy, Pete. Grant, you would have started Oliver.
Yeah, I would have only started Brophy if we were trying to like play the ball on the deck and try to like get their like play through their defence rather than like over it.
Brophy for me in that team is untested yet, so that's why we went for Oliver.
Yeah,
because you know what you're getting.
Oliver still stands the record of he didn't start the game. we just put Gary Oliver in for the rest of the season just for that, because we don't lose when Gary Oliver's on the side. Danny says, why did we roll the dice and try to win the game? All we had to do was bolt the door and make sure we didn't lose. Good question.
And PGM thought John's tactics were right for this game and we almost made it work. We had chances, but unfortunately didn't take them. I wonder if we will play more like this when we get to the Prem. Very disappointed. But we pick ourselves up and get back on it, COYB. He's on the Wayne train, isn't he?
Yeah, PGM is definitely on the Wayne train. I tell you who isn't on the Wayne train, though. The one, the only, if you'll know, you'll know him from Conny Bairn's Facebook page, Graham McKechnie. Graham was in touch and says, I don't understand why we mirror Livingston style play when we play them. It's never going to work. They are masters at it. We go up, recruitment will be the key. That wasn't good enough last night. There we go. So that's what Graham had to say. He had a lot more to say on the Facebook page if you follow that as well. The one and only Graham McKechnie there. Right, let's go into Falkirk Daft Rated and the Falkirk Dafty of the week. What are we saying? I think Falkirk Daft Rated, is there anyone you boys will choose? I'll abstain on this one because I wasn't at the game.
I think, personally speaking, I think the past few games Miller has been a standout, and for me probably on Tuesday night, I'd potentially give it to Miller. Pete, what's your thoughts?
If I had to pick someone, to be honest, I personally wouldn't pick anybody because I don't think we were good enough. But if we had to, either Miller or Hogarth, only for this because of the save he made in the first half. But yeah, give it to Miller. He was probably our most kind of liveliest player on the pitch.
Yeah, Cal Miller, that's his second Falkirk Daft rating. Only second, surprisingly.
Nuts.
Cal Miller, who's been one of our best players of the season. Yeah. Right, Dafty, who does it go to, gents? Who's going to say John McGuinn for his tactics? I'm waiting for somebody to say John McGuinn for his tactics and line up.
I'm going to say Nick Walsh. I think Nick Walsh had his pants pulled down. But, Pete, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I would go for neither of them, actually. I would go for Col Donaldson on the basis that we needed somebody to get control of the team in the last 20 minutes to settle things down and just kind of organise them and get them trying to retain possession of the ball. And that never happened, so I would go with Col Donaldson.
Col Donaldson, interesting. So are we going for Col Donaldson or Nick Walsh?
Nick Walsh, because he's a ref.
Right, Nick Walsh then. Nick Walsh gets it, because he's a ref. Brilliant, there we go. Brilliant, well listen, gents, thanks. I'm going to let you off the hook, Pete, with Falkirk Daft versus...
Thank you.
I don't think it's fair, but we'll get you back on...
No, you're all good.
...the next time we'll get you on Falkirk Daft versus... because I don't think it's fair to you as well, Grant, because you've just come off the bench as well to do this and do me a favour tonight, so I won't put you under the stress which that quiz generally causes... It keeps me up at night as well. But Pete, listen, thanks for coming back on the podcast. Really appreciate
your
time as ever. And if you want to be a guest pundit, probably next season now, hopefully in the Premiership, please get in touch with us, guest@falkirkdaft.co.uk.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall. Stay local. Eat and drink global.
So that was Livingston. Let's talk about Morton. It's our next home game. Three wins out of three against them so far this season. I was actually looking at that. The other teams that we, can you name, it's a little mini Falkirk Daft versus here. Who are the other three teams that we've got 100% win records against?
Okay, so Airdrie?
Yep.
Partick?
Nope, we drew with them at...
Mm.
For Hill.
Hamilton?
Nope, we drew with them at New Douglas Park.
I'm shit at this game, aren't
I? Queen's Park and Morton are your two answers there. So, but we're unlucky. Oh no, do you know what Queen's Park isn't one? Because we drew with them as well. So Dunfermline is the other answer.
Ah, right, okay.
And Fairman and Airdrie, the other two. I thought I actually, it just went in my head there at Queen's Park. We actually dropped points for them at home. But yeah, there we go. So Morton, we've got three wins over them so far. Three battling wins when you look at it. You know, they get, well, I think the last game we had that kind of sewn up before kind of half time. The time before was obviously at their place. We probably battled back to win 3-2. And at the stadium the last time, we absolutely pumped them. I don't think it'll be the case this time around, Grant.
No. I think I want to pump them because I quite like watching Dougie and his wee sad face. But I think it's going to be... No. If we play like we did last week against Livy, I think if we can't find our shooting boots and have some presence up front, then I think it could be in for a long game, unfortunately.
Yeah,
but fingers crossed.
Lost the first game in about five actually to Thistle there at the weekend, and it looks a wee bit sticky them getting into the playoffs now. They're 7 points off Thistle now for the race for that fourth playoff place. Wraith Rovers 6. Wraith Rovers maybe still have a chance with 5 games to go of getting into that place, but I think it's a bit tough for Morton. It's a bit tough.
No, it is. Emery, I don't like Emery, but at the same time, I've got respect for him, and he'll set the team up to come and battle it out. So it'll be a slog. It'll be a slog. I've got no doubts about it in my mind.
Yeah, well, it will be. I mean, Dougie Emery, surprisingly, that's 150 games in charge of Morton now. I think Emery's done a decent job with Morton. He's a wee shite, but he's done a decent job with Morton, and they'll certainly want to eradicate that 6-0 defeat at the stadium. Put that to the back of their head. Whether they can or not, it's different. It depends what Falkirk turn up. If the Livingston Falkirk turn up, I don't think so. But at the stadium, we're a different beast.
We've not dropped many points there this season.
And we're a sellout as well, aren't we?
And it's a sellout, yeah. Oh, it's a sellout as well. So, yeah, it'll be a big crowd in there, hopefully seeing the Bairns. Changes, I suspect, we'll go back to the tried and tested. Grant, what do you think?
I think we need to. I can't see him not putting Mackie back in. And I think maybe we might have a look at Oliver or Barney back up front. Because I think it was, I know it sounds as if I'm McKeever bashing him, really not. But it was evident he wasn't fit, and I think we need someone a bit more lethal up front for us.
Yeah, so probably the lineup I would go with be obviously Hogarth, Adams, Hence, Colin, Tam. Just going back to the winning team against Airdrie, Mackie. Then you have, well, Arfield probably comes in, plays the 10, and then Spencer and Henderson in midfield, and then Ross, Miller, and then up front, I think I'd be tempted against Morton to go Gary Oliver, I think.
Do you think Brophy will get you started at some point?
Brophy might be in contention for this game, I think, just the way Morton play.
Yeah.
Definitely, I think Brophy might be a contention. And listen, if Brophy can come in for the last five games and score five goals, that would be smashing. That would be really, really good. We've not seen him, like you say, he's a bit tried and untested. But yeah, I think against Morton, it's maybe the kind of game he would kind of shine in. Morton have struggled, certainly, in front of goal as well. Defensively, all right, but I think they've really kind of struggled getting goals this year as well. So we'll wait and see how it goes. What are you thinking for this one, Grant? What do you think the score's going to be?
I think it's going to be narrow margins. I'm going to go for 1-0 Falkirk.
1-0 Falkirk. I'll be a bit more optimistic and I'll say 2-0 Falkirk. I think, like you say, it's just business ending, just getting those results across the line is the most important thing. But I think we'll keep an our clean sheet, and I think I'll say we'll go 2-0 Falkirk with that one, and hopefully back to winning ways. 3 points in the bag. Hopefully Livingston slip up against Dunfermline, then they slip up against Queen's Park. I can't see that happening right enough, and then remain 8 points clear at the top of the league.
3 games in a week is tough. That really is physically tough in the players, so we can only just hope that that is the case.
Let's hope so. Let's absolutely hope so. Livingston, unfortunately, have a decent enough squad probably to cover a lot of those positions, but we will see what happens. But it's another massive week, another massive game, and we're just, I just wish we could just get it done. I can't handle this. I honestly can't handle it.
What's your prediction? When are we going to wrap this up?
I'm not even getting involved in that. You've been hanging about with that, Ross Wayne, too much, Grant. I actually think I might even miss Morton. I'll certainly try and catch it on Falkirk TV, but I may miss the game because my son's away to Berlin. So my wife's had this great idea that we go away for the weekend, and then I didn't have the heart to say, but Morton are playing Falkirk. I don't think that's why. So she wants to go away for the weekend, so I'm currently kind of putting that off, booking that, hopefully that she'll forget about it, and then I'll say, oh, we haven't booked anything, I can go to the football. But I don't think that's going to happen, so I might miss it.
No, it was the same for my birthday at the start of the year. My wife got me tickets to go and see a play down in Newcastle, and we'd have a night out in Newcastle, and when I seen it, I was like, but we're playing Airdrie at home.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
And that is almost it for Falkirk Daft. Thanks very much to Grant for being a big sub off the bench. Thank you, Grant. Absolute star as ever.
You're welcome, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Before we go, we need to do the Sid Puddyfoot. Now, I believe it's Puddyfoot and not Pudfoot, as I've always referred to it. So, the record, the world transfer signing that Falkirk made back in the day, and all the people that messaged us with Sid Puddyfoot is Colin, Jamie, Archie, Phil, Graham, Grant, the Navy Blue Army, PGM, Joe, Gavin, James, Lulu, Tyler, Scott, Babake, Charlie, and as Grant's a guest, you've got to pick out a random Falkirk player, which people need to randomly message us to prove they've got to this point in the podcast.
Okay, so for a quick look at our squad in 2017, and I can't remember him, but we had someone, a left back called Tommy Robson.
Tommy Robson, you don't remember Tommy Robson?
I can't remember Tommy Robson, no.
What a... I loved Tommy Robson. We met, actually, his mum and dad, Tommy Robson's mum and dad, before the semi-final against Inverness in a counting house in Glasgow, because he was playing for Queen's Park at the time, and right. got talking to... Because Tommy played for Sunderland, and he was a Macam, and he went on to play for Thistle and Queen's Park. I don't know where he is now. But yeah, his mum and dad were up for the weekend and we got chatting, saying, oh, you're well off the game. Oh, my, our son used to play for Falkirk. I was like, Tommy Robson. He was a great left, but he was one of the shining stars of that 2017 team. I can't believe you can't remember Tommy.
Well, see when I got asked...
Just put these date, times and years behind you.
Oh, see when I asked to come on and help out today, the thing that came to my head was John and Ross's Falkirk knowledge are like encyclopedias, and he can rhyme off stuff that happened years ago. I'm not like that. So
just as well, but we didn't do Falkirk Daft versus then, Grant. It would have been a loss for Falkirk Daft. But that's it. Tommy Robson, then there you go. What a player he was. I'm good. Do you know what I'm going to do? Just because I'm being nosy to see where Tommy's end up, because last time I saw him, he was at Queen's Park. Where is Tommy Robson?
He's at Clyde just now.
Is he at Clyde? Does he end up at Clyde? There you go. So yep. Tommy Robson's playing with Clyde now. There you go. Brilliant. Well, Tommy Robson is all you need to message us for next week. So there we go. Right, listen, thanks for listening to Falkirk Daft, watching. Remember, like and subscribe to the YouTube channel, or get us where you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to us. Just keep listening. That would be marvellous. Leave a comment as ever. We love your comments. We'll mention them on the podcast as well. And if you want to buy merch, we've got a new Falkirk Daft t-shirt, believe it or not, Grant. It is at pintsandprints.co.uk. You can get yourself a Falkirk Dafty t-shirt now. A Falkirk Dafty t-shirt.
And do you know what's good about it is they come in baby elephant sizes as well. So I managed to get a Falkirk Daft t-shirt a few months ago for one of the live nights. So, yep.
You can get a Falkirk Dafty one now, because you've been brilliant on this podcast. And obviously, thanks to the episode sponsors this week, all the details below for Rumour Architecture. That's Ryan Marshall's, rmar.co.uk. It's where you want to go if you want to get an architect. And thanks, as ever, to our sponsors of the podcast, our regular sponsors, Behind the Wall, established in Falkirk since the 80s. They've been going for years and years in the town, and the Falkirk Daft Venom is still on sale. I saw someone on TikTok sampling it, a vlogger on TikTok even sampling the Falkirk Daft Venom. So we're going, you know, it's, if you want to be cool, you need to go and get a Falkirk Daft Venom Behind the Wall. That's what we're saying. Have you tried one yet, Graham?
I have. I had it at the second live night, and I was in my bed that night, and I was rattling with the sugar that was in it. but what did the TikToker say about it? Did they think it was good?
They thoroughly enjoyed it. So it's only available at Behind the Wall, the Falkirk Daft Venom. Get yourself in there, get yourself one of them. And remember, I think the buses are filling up for the rest of the season, but it's £5 return for the home games. You go there, you get your ticket, you get a free drink when you get back to the bar as well. So yeah, get involved with behindthewall.co.uk. All the names to Scotty at the bar, or check out behindthewall.co.uk. A lot of good things happening there. Who's better, who's best? They're playing on the 18th. That's a Who tribute band. You've got an Easter Day dance with Dolly on the 20th, Grant. I'm sure you'll be there. Dolly Parton fan that you are.
Oh, definitely. Can't beat a bit of Dolly. Dolly and Kenny.
There you go. We could maybe do a duet. We could do a duet in the next Falkirk Daft Live. That could be the song.
That sounds good. Who'll be who, though?
I'm hoping it's We Are the Champions, but we'll wait and see. 25th, there's Caden Head's Whiskey Tasting, and the one, the only Parley Ammo are in there after the Thistle game on the 26th. Make sure you get a ticket for that and go and see Andy Haxton wearing... He did say he'll wear a Falkirk Daft t-shirt if we can sort him out one, so he'll be doing that on the 26th at Behind the Wall. And obviously, thank you as well to the Falkirk football fans and training who are supporting this podcast, and you can get all the details for that. Lava Cup, Ian is going to get me all the details for the Lava Cup. But if you want to get involved with Falkirk Football Fans Training, we always say you're making memories down there. They're playing there at Stadium 8 to 9 or Tuesday 7:30 to 8:30, or you can get involved with the Super Vets football, which happens on a Friday between 5 and 6, and that's strictly for over 50s and is 8-a-side, but playing by old school 5-a-side rules. And as I say, all the details on the Lava Cup, it's coming together really nicely, Grant. I've seen all the updates, but Ian is going to give me a full update of all the details that you need to know and how you can get involved in the Lava Cup. There's loads of teams coming from right across Europe, really, to the Falkirk Stadium for the Lava Cup on the 24th of May. And the fixtures have been announced for that as well. So we'll get all the details for you on next week's podcast for that. And we'll fingers crossed you can get along and support the Falkirk football fans and train who are in Group B. And they're against the Kyalakin Over 40s, the F3 Strand Tribune, the Solent Sports FC, and FC Enjama. So there's a lot, yeah, that's the draw that's been made. We'll have more details on it next week, but please, yeah, if you want to get involved with the Falkirk football fans and training, do that. All the details are below. There we go. I think we've covered off everything. Right, I'm just going to go through because Ross normally does the minutes. So we'll just check that. Sorry, that if you heard something in the background, that was actually the Lava Cup draw happening live.
Right. Okay. So,
but yeah, Ross normally takes the minutes, Grant. So just checking off. Right. So we've talked about all the news. We've talked about Livingston. Talked about Morton. Talked about the Lava Cup. Talked about the focus. We've done all the sponsors. I think we're done, Grant.
And I'm still alive. So.
So well done. Much. Thanks so much for joining us. But the big pressure is on you now because we've got to put the pressure on you because you've got to hit Ross's catchphrase as we wrap up this show and say what?
Expect the unexpected, buddy.
That's why he's an actor, ladies and gentlemen.
We're folk of love. We're folk of love. Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're folk of love. We're folk of Daft. You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're folk of Daft. We're folk of Daft. For everyone who's kidding about being a folk of beer. We're folk of Daft. We are folk of Daft.